Well, let's pray and open our heart to God's word. Father, we just ask you to speak to us today once again. I pray, Father, that you would help me. Lord, that you would use me this morning to speak what you want to say. And Father, I ask that you give us ears to hear. Lord, may our hearts be open and receptive to your word, and may we be doers of your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. We're in a series right now called Real Church. You can find all kinds of churches in. There's the form and formality church. There's the entertainment church. There's the club church, and there's the Mac church. All kinds, but when we say real church, what we're talking about is a church that is about what the Scripture says about the church. And so that's our focus in this series, not just an idea, but what we see in the Word of God. Now, let me just start with this morning. Charlie Brown was very depressed and down. Like so many, he just felt like his life didn't have any real meaning. He was so desperate for help, in fact, that he goes to Lucy's psychiatric booth. That's pretty desperate, right? He says, "You've got to help me. My life has no meaning. My life has no real purpose." Lucy says, "Life is simple, Charlie Brown. Life is like a deck chair on a cruise ship. Some people put theirs on the back of the boat and they look at where they've been. Some people put theirs on the front of the boat and they look at where they're going. Life is simple, Charlie Brown. Where is your deck chair?" Charlie Brown scratches his head for a minute. He said, "I've never been able to get my deck chair unfolded." And that's just exactly where a lot of people are. In fact, I think that's where a lot of churches are. Listen, we know where we've been. We've been to the cross, and we've been forgiven. And we know where we're going. We're going to spend eternity with our Lord. But what about the right here and the right now? What is it that God wants us to be doing? What about today? He has given us a mission. We call it a Great Commission. I'm going to read it to you from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Before he left this world, Jesus made it very clear what he wanted the church to do. He gave us a mission to reach people. He wants us to make disciples. I can assure you that that has not changed. That's still his plan for the church, the people of God. And we need to stay focused on the mission that Jesus gave the church. Seems like that even though we know that he said these things, and we know that he gave us this commission, that somehow we get caught up in other things and our true mission gets pushed aside. Now, I think that is true many times in our personal lives, but I think it's even true for the church a lot of the time. We get focused on other things, and it's not that we intend to fulfill the mission. We just got distracted with other things. So we need to always keep it our focus, that this is our mission. It is to reach people with the gospel. Our mission is to make disciples. Our mission is to see people's lives changed. Now, the Lord Jesus, who said, "Follow me," we're his followers, right? He also said in Luke 19 and 10, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was." I can assure you that Jesus was a man on a mission, and he fulfilled his mission. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Jesus wants his church, his body, to still be fulfilling that mission, to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said he was going to build his church, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against. We're not holding the fort until Jesus comes. We are advancing on the gates of hell. This is not a bless me club. It is an army that is engaged in a battle for the eternal souls of men and women and teenagers and children. If we don't understand that our real purpose is to reach people, we're just entertaining ourselves until he comes. No, we're here to make a difference. To make a difference in people's lives, to make a difference in people's eternity. We're supposed to take as many with us as we can. Amen. Jesus still loves the lost and cares about the lost, and he wants us to reach the lost. So we are a church on a mission. Jesus said there's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people who don't repent. You see, we might think, well, hey, the Lord gets a lot of joy from me serving the Lord, and I'm sure he does, but let me tell you something. There's more joy over one sinner that repents than 99 righteous that need no repentance. There is a party in heaven around the throne of God. I'm telling you, heaven gets happy when one sinner turns to God. He wants to reach people. Oh, how we need to keep that as our focus, as our mission that he's given to us. A consultant to churches surveyed members of nearly 1,000 churches asking, why does the church exist? And of the church members surveyed, 89% said the church's purpose is to take care of my family's and my needs. Only 11% said the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. The pastors of those same churches were asked the same question, and amazingly, the results were almost exactly opposite. 90% of the pastors said the purpose of the church is to win the world, and 10% said the purpose of the care of the needs of the members. What that tells me is that pastors and ministers have done a terrible job of communicating to the people. See, they know, but they've done a terrible job of communicating to the people what the most important thing is. They've done a terrible job of communicating to the people that the mission of the church is to fulfill the Great Commission, the mission that Jesus gave us to go into all the world, to make disciples, to be witnesses of him. Oh, how we need to keep that as our focus and never forget why we're here. Most churches eventually become inward focused, focused on meeting the needs of the members instead of focusing on the mission to reach people. But a church without a vision to reach the lost is a dying church. It may take a long time. It can take decades. But a church that has lost its passion for reaching people will eventually die. Oh, it can have a lot of cool stuff, but eventually it's going to die. Because we got to keep the main thing as the main thing. And I'm telling you, it is about reaching people. It is about bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of activity in some churches, a lot of programs. And somehow many still manage to not fulfill their purpose. Two guys working for the city. One of them digs a hole. The next guy comes and he fills it in. They move over, he digs another hole. The next guy comes and he fills it in. This just goes on and on and on. One man was watching this process and he kept trying to figure out what they were doing. Finally, he couldn't stand it. He said, "What are y'all doing? One of you digs a hole and the other one just fills it in. What are y'all doing?" They said, "Well, it may look kind of strange, but you see, the guy that puts the tree in the hole is not here today." And I'm telling you, we can have all kinds of activity, all kinds of stuff going on, but if we forget the purpose for what we're doing, why we're doing what we do, I just wonder sometimes if the Lord looks down and says, "What are you doing?" It's about reaching people. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to know that we are supposed to be advancing on the gates of hell. We are not in defense mode. We should be putting hell in defense mode. I'm talking about reaching people. I'm talking about destroying the works of the devil. I'm talking about seeing people's lives changed and saved for eternity. We're not in defense mode. Listen, we have the answers that the world needs. I know the attitude of the society we live in is that the church needs to be quiet and just kind of stay out of the way. But in reality, we have exactly what this world needs, and we can't just sit back and not do anything. Aren't you glad you know the Lord? I tell you, I wouldn't want to do life without the Lord. I'm so blessed. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, now freely give." And if what we have is that good, the world needs to know. See, if we have peace, I want to tell you, there are a whole lot of people in this world that are desperate for peace. You got the answer. You have what they need. So many people that are depressed, sad, heartbroken. Let me tell you, you have the answer. Joy. So many people bound by some sin, some habit, an addiction that's destroying their life. And you've been set free. I'm telling you, you have the answer for them. You need to tell them your story. You need to tell them what God has done in your life. You see, we're not going to be quiet because the world needs what we have. They're looking for answers everywhere, and we have the answer. So many people. Listen, we know the joy, the freedom of being forgiven. No condemnation. Because of the blood of Jesus, we're forgiven. And there's so many people in this world that need to know that God loves them and He forgives them. We got the answers. Jesus said that we are salt, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And you know, there's a whole lot of darkness in this world right now. Are you afraid of the dark? We tell little children, don't be afraid of the dark. It's okay. Let me tell you something. Doesn't matter where you are, no matter how dark it is, if you turn the light on, the darkness goes away. It's dispelled. And I'm just telling you, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." We don't need to go hide somewhere because it's dark out there. No, we just need to shine for Jesus. We just need to be willing to be used of Him. And if you'll step into a dark place, you let Jesus shine through you, I'm telling you, it can change the atmosphere of that place. But too many are afraid of the dark. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled." It's time for the church to rise and shine. Isaiah 61 and 2 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." I believe that's prophetic of Zion, but it's also prophetic of the church. The darker it gets in this world, the brighter that we're supposed to shine. He says, the Lord will arise upon you. The glory of the Lord's going to be seen on you. And I'm telling you, when we allow the Lord to shine through us, He is the one that is glorified. But the church needs to rise up and move forward as a mighty army, not to take over the world, but to reach the world. That's our mission. That's what He wants, that this gospel be preached to the whole world. Now, some believers want to get mad and fight over political issues. And they'll let it all, they'll rant and rave and, you know, blah, 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 and they'll quote scriptures and, okay. But they don't talk about their faith. They don't talk about what Jesus has done for them and how Jesus has changed their life. And they don't talk about how Jesus can help you. They're not witnessing for the Lord. I want to say this very plainly. Jesus was not political. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." They tried to take Him and make Him their king, and He said, no. Jesus never tried to take down Caesar. He wasn't interested in that. He was interested in reaching people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm telling you, this needs to be our focus, is to reach people with the gospel. This is what will change people. This is what will change our nation. It will not happen because you went on a rant and told them how it's supposed to be politically or on some social issue even. No, it's Jesus that changes lives. And I want to tell you, enough people get their life changed by Jesus, and it'll change a community, it'll change a nation. But that's our focus. That's what we need to be passionate about, is reaching people with a life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, our righteous indignation will never save anybody. It is the kindness and the goodness of God that draws men to repentance. I heard about one guy that said that he served the Lord because he was scared of hell. Scared of going to hell. How miserable must that be? To serve the Lord just because you're scared of hell. Well, I serve Him because I love Him. And I'm just telling you, we're not going to scare anybody into heaven. That's ridiculous. What draws people to the Lord is His kindness and His goodness. That's what brings us to a place of repentance. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our mission is to share that good news, that God loves them so much that He gave His Son to pay the price for their sin so that they could be with Him for eternity. Now, some Christians think that it's their job to tell people that they're going to hell. That's not good news. That's the worst news you could ever get. The good news is that Jesus paid the price for your sins so you could be with Him for eternity. A lot of the time, the message the church has given to the world is that they're bad and what they're doing is wrong. And some of you are probably thinking right now, well, that sounds okay. I'm telling you, I'm not saying that's what we intend necessarily, but I'm telling you that is what the world thinks our message is a lot of the time. You're bad and what you're doing is wrong. That's not our message. Our message is the message of the gospel. It is the message of reconciliation, that God wants to restore them to himself in a relationship. That is our message. A lot of the unchurched, they think our message is that you need to stop doing what you're doing and do like me so you can be a Christian like me. It is a message of works. They need to hear that God loves them and he wants a relationship with them. God wants to free them from their sin. But they have to come to Jesus. Of us has to come to Jesus just as I am. Our message cannot be stop sinning and be good so you can be a Christian. Listen, our message is that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. And I'm not talking about cheap grace. This grace is very, very expensive. It was paid for by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, but the price has already been paid. It's not okay to live in sin. It's not okay for somebody, for an unbeliever, and it's not okay for a Christian. It's not okay to live in sin. Grace is not a license for immorality. Grace gives us the power to put the past behind us and live a new life. It gives us the power to overcome. We do good works because we've been saved by grace. But I'm telling you, we need to be careful that when we're sharing with the lost and trying to reach those who are away from God, that we don't make it a message of works. No, it is a message of grace that God loves them and he forgives them. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, we don't use the word reconciled very often today, but one way I guess we use it pretty frequently is when a husband and wife have had trouble and then they work things out, we say they reconciled. That relationship has been restored. And that is exactly what he's talking about here, that through Christ, our relationship with God has been restored. Verse 19, that is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In the NIV, that verse goes like this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. You see, Christ came to reconcile us to the Father, to restore the relationship between God and man. That is what God has always wanted ever since the fall, to restore that relationship, that fellowship between God and man. When Adam sinned, God came looking for Adam in the garden. From the very beginning, he's wanted to restore the relationship between God and man. And he says, and he committed to us the message of reconciliation. He has committed this message of reconciliation. He's committed it to you and me. He's given this message to the church. The church has a responsibility. He's committed it to us, this message of reconciliation, this message of restoring man to God. It's been committed to us, This is his plan, that his church carry out the mission of sharing this message. Our mission is to see people restored to a relationship with God. People that have never known the Lord and people that once knew him but they're no longer walking with the Lord, I'm telling you, he wants a relationship with them. Let's go one more verse here to verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are his representatives. He loves them. And we're the ones that have to communicate that to them. We're the ones that represent Jesus to them. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And I'm telling you, it's his church. That's what we have to be doing as if we're going to represent him. And then he says, as though God were pleading through us. You know, that almost sounds strange, doesn't it? But he says it is as though God were pleading through us. Do you realize that if you will allow God to use you, he will speak to people through you? He will use you to be the one that says the very words that they need to hear to get them to turn back to God. Be reconciled to God. Our mission is to take that message to the world. You know, when people go to foreign countries with the gospel, we call it missions. Why? Because they're on a mission. Listen, they don't go over there for some kind of paid extended vacation. They don't go over there and just, you know, earn a living and raise their kids, live out their days. They could do those things here. They go over there because they have a mission of sharing the gospel and reaching people. We also have a mission. We have a mission just as much as they do. We're here in this world to reach people, not just to live out our days and make a living and raise our kids. No, we have a mission. Every alcoholic, every drug user, every new ager, every teenager, every person in a nursing home, whoever they are, wherever they are, I tell you that God wants a relationship with them. Those that have strayed away, that once knew him in a personal way, but they no longer talk to the Lord, no longer walk with the Lord. Listen, we need to tell them, God wants you back. He still loves you. He still cares about you and wants to be close to you. He wants to help you. 19, the NIV tells us that he's not counting men's sins against them. The New King James says he's not imputing their sins. He's not counting their sins against them. See, some people have this, God is the heavenly Santa Claus. He's up there checking who's been naughty and nice, you know. Oh, you messed up there. Got to mark that down. You messed up again, boy. You are headed for trouble. Listen, there is a day of wrath and judgment that will come. But you need to know this. God is not counting men's sins against them. That was taken care of on the cross. Forgiveness is free and it is available to every single one of them. One person sins once a month. I'd like to be that guy. Another one sins every day. On that basis, which one of these men, by his actions, is righteous before God? Thank you. Neither. We all need God's grace and forgiveness. Our righteousness is filthy rags before Him. And yet somehow we fall into this religious mindset. We put people in this box and say, oh, well, your problem is your sin. I'm not saying that sin doesn't matter. He wants everybody to be free. And by the way, there's still a lot of Christians that are bound by some sin. God loves them, and He wants them to be free. He's still working on all of us. He's still cleaning us up. He's still sanctifying us. And when we're talking to the lost, you need to understand this. The problem is not their sin. See, if you think that's their problem, then it's a really big problem for you. The problem is not their sin. The issue is that they need Jesus. Because Jesus has already taken care of their sin on the cross. That's the issue, and that's what we need to talk to them about. Not stop this and stop that so you can be good like me. No, it's you need Jesus just like I need Jesus. The same grace, the same one who saved me and set me free and forgave me, He wants to do the same for you. That's our message. Grace gives people the power to change. Religion shackles people. His grace works in us to forgive, to restore, to make us more than we could ever be on our own. John 1:12, the scripture says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in His name. What an amazing thing. You see, we believe in Jesus and it changes everything. We become the sons and daughters of God. But the message that our world too often is hearing from the church is that you need to stop sinning. Listen to me. Your message needs to be, you need God in your life. He loves you. He wants to help you. He forgives you. I was in Target many years ago. I've never forgotten this. I overhear, it was on New Year's Eve, and I overhear this Christian talking to a person who was planning on going out and drinking that night. And this Christian was arguing with them, trying to convince them they shouldn't go out and drink because the wine that Jesus drank wasn't real wine. Just talk to people about Jesus. Just tell them what He's done in your life. Share your story. Share the love of God, the forgiveness of God with them. I'm telling you, Jesus can take it from there. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. You can't clean fish before you catch them. It's not even our job to clean them. We catch them and He cleans them. What a great deal. You know what? I love to catch fish, but I don't like to clean them. But there's this attitude too often where we want to tell somebody else everything they're doing wrong. The Lord is the one that cleans them up by the washing of the water of the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit. He cleans them up. And I'm not saying He doesn't ever use people in that process, but I'm just telling you that when we're reaching out to the world, we don't need to focus on their sin. We need to focus on the Savior and talk to them about Jesus, because Jesus can change their life. Remember the mission. We as a church have to keep our focus, but we also need to make it personal We need to realize that we personally have a mission in this world. That doesn't mean that we're all called to preach on a street corner, but we need to have a sense of an eternal purpose, that we're making a difference in the lives of others. We're making a difference in eternity because we're being used of the Lord to share His message with them. We're not just here living out our days. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having personal goals, and I think you ought to have a plan on accomplishing something with your life. But even those things need to fit into the bigger picture of what's really important. And what's really important is what Jesus, and what Jesus is doing is building His church. He still wants to reach people. That's what's really important. I don't know where the story really came from. I suspect that some preacher made it up to illustrate the point, but it does illustrate the point really well. And I've shared this before, but I think it's really fitting today that I share it again. There was a dangerous sea coast where shipwrecks often occurred. And so some people got together and they started a life-saving station. They had a little hut and they had one small boat. And whenever there was a shipwreck, they would go out and try to rescue those from the shipwreck, and they would bring them back to their hut safely. Well, it was so successful and it was such a powerful thing to be able to save people that way that many of the ones that were saved and people that lived in the area, they wanted to be a part of this life-saving station. And so they donated money and they gave up their own time and energy to buy more boats and get more crews together to go out and rescue people when there was a shipwreck. And over time, they decided to build a nicer building. They decided to make it really nice because we bring these people in after a shipwreck and they're cold and wet. It'd be nice to have a nice place for them. And so they built this nice building. But as time went by, all of the people that were involved, it almost became more of a club. You know, they would get together at their life-saving station just to hang out, just to be with one another. Finally, they decided that they weren't really big on this life-saving thing anymore. It was dangerous and, you know, it was kind of a mess, and so they decided that they would hire crews to go out in the boats to rescue people. One day there was a big ship that wrecked, and so there were a whole lot of people that were brought into the life-saving station, and they were cold and wet and sick, and boy, it just brought chaos into the place when they brought all these people in. And so the majority of the members got together and they decided that, you know what, we're not going to do this anymore. It's just too big of a mess. They're messing up our club. A few of the members said, but wait a minute, that's the whole purpose. That's why we're here. But the other members told them, listen, if you want to do this life-saving thing, y'all can go on down the coast and start you a new one. And so they did. But as the story goes, it wasn't that many years until the same thing happened again with that life-saving station. And here's the point. Most of the time, new churches are very missional. They have to be. If they don't reach people, they won't be around very long. I mean, it's just a fact of life. It has to reach people or they're just going to fade away into the sunset. It's over. But a lot of the time over the years, churches begin to be inward focused, and it becomes more about what the members want, becomes more about what we like, and less about the people out there and reaching the people out there. We got to remember our mission, our purpose, why we're here, what's important to our Lord. He loves the lost. And you know, When God uses us, when we are a part of what He's doing, it is the most exciting, powerful thing that you will experience. It is such fulfillment and such joy that will last on even into eternity. Oh, when you get on the other side and you see the people that you had a part in impacting, such joy. I just want to encourage you. Don't allow yourself. You see, we as a church have to stay focused, but we as individuals have to stay focused. So don't allow yourself to be distracted from God's purpose in your life. And I know that we walk that out, we live that out in many different ways, but stay focused on the mission that we're going to reach people. We need to begin each day with a mindset that we're on a mission of great importance. If we do that, we'll be looking for the down and stressed out and the one that's lost their way, and we'll be ready to share our story. We'll be ready to encourage them in the Lord and pray for them. See yourself as somebody that's on a mission. Let's never forget what's really important. You know, Jesus said in Mark 12, 30 and 31, this is what's really important. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to say to you this morning that if we really love Him with all of our heart, we'll care about what Jesus cares about. It is as simple as that. If we love Him with all our heart, we'll want to do what He wants us to do. And if we love our neighbor as ourself, key words there, as yourself, how could you not want to share the gospel with somebody that doesn't have what you have? I know sometimes that people in this world can be ugly and do you wrong and even make themselves your enemy, but God loves them. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, I'm telling you, you want to tell them what you have. Tell them your story, what God has done in your life. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Keep this mission before you, that we've got to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never forget your mission. I want to ask you to stand with me. Let's pray. I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness, Your love to each and every one of us. We never forget just how good You are to us. May we never forget Your amazing grace. And I pray, Father, that today, every person in this building would sense and know they're on a mission, that You have a divine purpose for their life. I pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and don't really have a close relationship with You, I pray that today that will change. And I pray, Father, for those that want to be used by You, I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just stir in them a fresh passion for the lost. And Lord, that You would just anoint them and use them each and every day, that You would give them divine appointments, that You be glorified and many lives be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to dismiss you in just a moment. But as we dismiss, I want to ask you to come for prayer. If you're one that maybe you've never really had a close relationship with the Lord, He loves you. He's already paid the price for your sin so that you could be reconciled to Him. He's waiting for you. I encourage you to come for prayer this morning. Some of you that have known the Lord, but you know you're not really walking with Him, I have a message for you. He wants you back. He wants you back. Some of you here this morning, I know it is the desire of your heart to reach people. And if you want somebody to pray for you this morning, that God will just make you a firebrand for Jesus, I encourage you to come. Don't miss out on what God has for you today. If God's dealing with your heart in any way, come for prayer. And if you have any kind of prayer request, you're welcome to come. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.